shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Bedtime turns me off and I don't mean maybe.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720, and we've got a fun show for you tonight. In the next hour, we have our friend trumpet player Maurice Brown. It's been a long time since I've seen Maurice, so they're going to play some live music for you. And then around 9:30, we're going to talk about Arts of Life in Chicago with Vincent Uribe and their upcoming benefit. And our first guest, photographer, journalist, Mariah Carson. How you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
And with us is Stan Klein, the director of Firecat Projects.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
2124 North Damon.
Correct.
Avenue. So this is a fascinating project. Mariah, it's American Legion. You went around small towns, four small towns, and photographed American Legion members.
Yes, I went to four towns with populations of less than 1,000 all across the U.S., to document people that served our country and now serve their community as American Legion members.
It's a fascinating, it's like kind of a coffee table book. I'm thumbing through it right now. How many pages is it?
252
pages.
She knows that exactly.
Yeah. It's really, really a handsome book. They just came in, right?
Yes, they just came in this week.
And you're going to have a reception for the book. It's at Firecat Friday, July 28th from 7 to 10 p.m. The show runs through August 19th. Tell us what will be going on at the reception. I imagine there's images from the book at the gallery.
Yes, there will be, and we'll be doing some grilling out front. And
oh, you will?
Yep, and one of the sponsors is Hot Doug Schoen, and then Temperance Beer is supplying the beer. And it's just a real gathering. Some people from local Legion halls are coming. And
there are people from local, yeah.
So it should be quite a nice event.
Four posts with populations under 1,000.
Yes.
Now, how did you pick them, and what was your format? Why did you go that way?
I wanted to select posts that were all very different, but all were in towns where the post had the potential of being a central part of their community, to examine what would happen if, you know, the American Legion lost a lot of members and the post stopped being there. I had read this statistic that 640 World War II vets die every day, and less than 1% of the current U.S. population is involved in the military. So that, combined with people that are younger, not really joining fraternal organizations, it said a lot about what would potentially happen to institutions like the American Legion, the Lions Club, Moose, Elks, that kind of thing.
And what were the four towns?
I went to Post 801 in Bombay Beach, California, which is on the Salton Sea. I went to Cody, Nebraska, Post 319 in the Western Sand Hills. Franklin Grove, Illinois, Post 497.
And how far, I asked you, how far is that from here?
That's 100 miles west of here.
Yeah, okay.
And then to Post 56 in Sheridan, Virginia, on the Delmarva Peninsula.
Wow. Now, I'm interested in process. I mean, were these four right off the bat, or did you go to others and pick your favorites? I'm doing the book on camping, you know, and we've had to throw out some places and stuff. So what was your editing process like?
The first one I went to because it was in close proximity. It's Franklin Grove is 100 miles west of here. I had a friend that was working for the Nature Conservancy's Nachusa Grasslands. So the Grasslands and the Nature Conservancy were kind enough to allow me to stay in their employee housing when I would go to that location. So I was able to travel back and forth and use the Franklin Grove members kind of as a benchmark for how I would approach the other locations. I selected Nebraska. It was where I came up with the idea for the project. The first time I drove through Cody, I was on a road trip trying to think about what I would do for this long-term documentary that Stan had given me the opportunity to have 3 years to work on any project that I wanted to work on for this gallery show. And when I was driving through Nebraska in a small town, I saw somebody, an elderly man, mowing the lawn of a Legion post. And it made me really curious what was inside. And in every town that I went to down Highway 20, there was an American Legion post. It made me very curious what was going on inside the buildings, what kind of people lived in the town. And I took a photo when I got to Cody of the post, and I printed it fairly large and hung it behind my, like right on the wall behind my desk, and just looked at it and was so curious what was going on in there, and just started researching American Legion and what they were. And
how much did you tell them about yourself? I mean, did they know you were from, you're from Evanston originally, right?
I'm from the suburbs.
Yeah, well, that's not that far. But, I mean, so did they know what you were doing? I'm talking about trust. I'm talking about the open up, you know, a lot of vets. My dad was in the Battle of the Bulge. He didn't even talk that much about it. What was the process like to bring them out a little bit, verbally and for the pictures?
I think that everybody was so excited that somebody was interested in what they had been doing for all these years. So a lot of the people that I interviewed had been American Legion members since right after they got out of service. I met several like 60-year members. So for somebody to be going out and doing a documentary about their town of 155 people and being very interested in what they're doing and spending 3 weeks and taking photos of them, I think that they were just glad that I was there and glad that somebody would know all of the efforts that they've done for their community and for veterans across the country.
You began this in 2013?
In 2014.
2014.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in 2017. What were their fears? What did they think about the time they were living in now? What were their concerns about the future?
A lot of people that I spoke with that were very active in the posts are Vietnam vets. And they said that when a lot of them returned home, they did not come home to like a welcoming in their communities. One member said that his father, who had served in World War II, took him to the local VFW post. And they told him that they didn't want him in there because he had just come back from Vietnam. So at first, I think a lot of them didn't really feel welcome in a veterans organization, but now they've become, in their retirement, more active and wanting to do things to celebrate their service and to give back to their communities. So I did meet a lot of people that didn't really tell their kids about their service, didn't really talk about it with their spouses. I had a lot of people say, I've never really told anybody this before, but I think I'm a nice young lady and fairly unassuming.
It's not like me walking into an American Legion. Who is this guy?
That's something that we did talk a lot about, yeah. You know, and how to be open and convey that you're interested,
yeah.
And ask the right questions. And, you know, I lived in Maine, a small town in coastal Maine, and the Legion Hall was the only place in town where you could have the Boy Scouts go to and have this sort of community center other than the police station.
Yeah.
And it's a valuable resource that keeps that community knit together.
In layman's terms, just for, you know, I mean, a basic thing, what's the difference between an American Legion Hall and a VFW?
The American Legion is the United States' largest wartime veterans association. So the delineation between a member of the Legion and the VFW is that to be a member of the VFW, you had to have served during active combat, whereas the American Legion, to qualify as a member, you had to have served during active wartime. So people that served stateside or did not serve in active combat are eligible as well. So I thought that overall, in terms of why I selected them, American Legion as a title sounds pretty cool. And I felt like it was the more inclusive of the two organizations. And again, this Cody post, it just kind of...
You really like the Cody post. I mean, I saw a note. I don't know if this is still happening. Poppies at the opening will benefit the post. You're selling poppies at the...
The poppies are available if somebody would like to donate money. All the money goes to Cody Auxiliary Unit 319, which I did join as a member last year.
I got so many questions for you, but we have to take a break. Okay, we'll take a break, and then we're going to have one of the subjects from the book on the phone after.
Yes,
that.
Jerry okay. Fullerton.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal WGN.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Self, their country loved, and mercy more than life.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're talking about the upcoming opening of Maria Carson's American Legion at Firecat Projects, 2124 North Damon Avenue, and the book of the same name. It's available. Mariah, tell us how people can find it. The book is fascinating. It really is. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. People can get it in person next Friday at Firecat Projects, or they can go to my website, mariahcarson.com/American Legion.
And on the phone from Cody, Nebraska, we do have Jerry Fullerton, who's in the book. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to get a subject from the book and get your perspective on what it was like to participate. I don't know if you've seen the book yet. Have you seen the book?
No, I haven't. No, I'm eagerly awaiting a chance to see it.
It's really, really, I would use the word handsome. It's a very, very handsome, just a beautiful, just really well done. So in your own words, what was it like when Mariah came in? I mean, what was your reaction? How did you decide to participate in this?
Well, I really didn't know anything about it at first. Larry Johnson, who's very active in our post, an elderly gentleman, he said that there's a lady here that wants to take pictures of the different members of the post. Would you come in and do it? And I'm like, I guess maybe. So, but anyway, we got to know her, and what an interesting lady she is. We had her. We tried to make a cowgirl out of her while she was here, and
how'd that go?
We were the only ones that tried that. So.
Your story is fascinating. You're 64, maybe? 63, 64?
Yes, 64.
Okay, and you were in Vietnam.
Yep, I was stationed on the USS Richard B. Anderson, never in country, but very close to the shore, and that's kind of where we spent our time, was just off the coast of Vietnam. So home ported out of Yokosuka, Japan.
You re-enlisted. I'd like you to elaborate on this. You re-enlisted to keep the family ranch going?
Well, I went in as a reservist, and as a Navy reserve. And in that deal, you have boot camp, school, and 2 years active duty. And then you have reserve time after that. And so I completed that. And then I got out in 79 from that original contract. And then in 85, 84, 85, pretty tough going in farm country. Out here, it's just my wife and I, we're just getting started. We've been married 4 years, didn't have any children yet. But it sure looked like we were going to be looking at a change in careers. And I was not excited about moving at all. But it turned out, so anyway, I went in reserves and joined. I had a recruiter after me for years out of Sioux City. And so I thought, well, might need to get my foot in the door somewhere. So it looks like Sioux City's as good a place as any. So, and then I got in the reserve unit, and just a lot of Vietnam vets, a lot of good guys that had prior service that were in there for the right reasons, And so I just stuck it out till 09. I mean, went through one call up after 9/11, and we made that work. And other than that, it just, I don't know where the years go, but that's kind of my story.
What was the, we talked about this before we called you, what was the reaction back in the States to the Vietnam veterans? I think there's a segment Mariah has about, it was hard for you to wear your uniform in public?
Yeah, that was sure eye-opener for me being from out here. I mean, and people may or may not have agreed with the war, but, they around Cody and around our area, they sure didn't treat you with disrespect. And there's so many veterans, you know, at that time that had been, you know, with the draft and everything, a lot of guys that went in, you know, and did their time. That's just their duty, you know. And so, but, man, you get on the coast, and I heard the same thing from guys who were East Coast or West Coast or up in the Seattle area. Oh, it just, yeah, just not treated well at all. So, yeah, it was pretty, it was quite an eye-opener for a kid from out here.
For both of you, Mariah and Jerry, what was there a process? Was it kind of therapeutic, or was it? What was it like to talk about this? What was it like, Mariah, for you to hear it, and Jerry, what was it for you to like to share these stories?
Well, I think it's good for me, and it's good for all of us to make sure that the younger generation, the kids that are in today, or that have been in the last 15 years or so, since things have, you know, everybody's a lot more patriotic, and to make sure that fighting men and women that are in today don't get treated the same way, you know, whatever side of the political thing you're on, you know, don't take it out on the military people, you know, they're doing their job, you know, so that's the way I look at it, and that's what we try to. Gary's really good about, Gary Everly's our post commander here, and he's really good about, you know, anybody that he hears going in that's enlisted, you know, I mean, they just try to do stuff for them. So, and same thing when they get out, you know, welcome them back. And that parade that had in Valentine, Bill Williams was a member of our post, and his wife were very instrumental in welcoming home the Vietnam vets, and did a parade in Valentine. I don't know if Mariah got to see that or be a part of that or not. I don't remember, but man, that was just so cool. You know, we just had the Legion riders were there. I think probably one of the best parades Valentine's ever had, and they have quite a few. And that's a big city for our area. You know, 1,600 people. What is it, Valentine? Probably a little over 2,000 people.
You got me on that, yeah.
Give or take a few.
The Mariah's photos, they remove a barrier. I mean, you know, I've got the book in front of me, and people have to get the book. But Mariah, if you can set this up, I mean, you've got him looking at his.
Yeah, Jerry took me out on some of his ranch property, and he was pointing out where his childhood home was on the ranch. And there's another photo of him in his home with his daughter, Chelsea, who is now taking over the Fullerton Family Ranch. And that's part of the generational ranching that is very common in the Sand Hills area.
It is so good that you kept that ranch going, right, Jerry?
Yeah. We really enjoy our way of life out here, and we're really glad to show it off any opportunity we get.
What goes through your mind these days when you look at the American flag?
Oh, yeah, when I see a sporting event or just whatever, I just think about, you know, our Navy reunions that I go to every year. We have an elderly gentleman that was a plank owner on the ship, on this destroyer that he's on, comes. He's 94 years old. And I think about the stories that he tells. He's really, really a good storyteller for his age. And he was in the Merchant Marine before he got transferred to the Navy, and he tells about how they did escort duty for the convoy system and didn't even have guns on the ships that they were using. They had to rig up REA poles, telephone poles, make it look like they were armed, and they were out there trying to defend these ships from German U-boats. And I always think about what they went through and how dangerous that was, you know. And yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Is thinking about those guys.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us, Jerry, on a Saturday night. How big is Cody?
Oh, around 150 people.
So what's going on there tonight on a Saturday night?
Well, I'm just sitting out here on my back deck enjoying the sun going down. It's been another hot, dry day.
It's been hot, yeah.
I'll be there soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Send us some rain. Mariah said it's really wet back there. We need some rain.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. And Mariah, you want to give us all the what do the kids say? Deets? You want to give us all the details on your stuff?
Yes. Yeah, so next Friday at Firecat Projects, 2124 North Damon Avenue, We have an opening reception from 7 to 10 p.m. We're going to grill some food. Douglas Sohn is the generous sponsor of the event.
And Temperance is bringing the beer, yeah, and Temperance, we have wine. Beer. And
and like you said, Stan, during the break, I mean, these pictures are going to look great, you know, in a gallery.
When you get them, see the large size of them, and you see all the detail. And she really did capture the inside and the outside of all these towns, inside their house and the landscape and the sense of size. It's just great.
It's a great book. So thank you for coming in. And then you have to come back and we'll talk about Modern Davids.
We'll talk about
what would you do? You shot, how many did you say, 63?
I have 63 Modern Davids. There's still time for you, Dave.
Okay. All right, we'll be back with, oh, there's another David in the newsroom, David Jennings. You could get us together.
Oh,
David, are you in?
Okay.
Okay. All right, we'll be back after this on WGN.